want to welcome you to worship this morning, and we especially greet anyone who is watching us for the first time. And if you haven't joined us Sunday morning at 10:30 online, we're having a Facebook Live watch party, and it's the same online service, but it's just an opportunity for us to be doing the same thing as a church family and also to interact with each other while watching. We're also still taking donations for the Hamblin County Humane Society and blankets and sleeping bags for our homeless friends in the community. And you could bring any of those items by the church office. And then finally, I'd just like to ask that you would remember to like us and share us if you think this service would be helpful to someone you know. But we are glad that you're here, and we would ask that you would prepare your hearts and minds for worship. We'd like to invite you, if you would, to join us as we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'd like to use this time as an opportunity to lift up some of the people in our church that we're in prayer for. Know that many of you heard that Steve Baxley passed away, and his service of resurrection was on Friday. And at that service, we did a Facebook Live recording of that service. And if you want to go back and check that out on our Facebook page, you can do that at your leisure. Also want to remember Ronnie Malloy, who has gone home, and we are excited that she and Mo have been reunited together. We know that there are a lot of people in our church family that have been dealing with COVID, and we pray for the recovery of those who have been challenged with that disease. We know that Donna Ahrens is at home and doing better, and also Cheryl Rager, our church secretary, is at home as well, but hopes to come back to work on Monday. And then Ron Strope had some health issues that cropped up, and he's been having some tests. Lindsay Smith and Katie Close both were in the hospital but have gone home. And then Joanne Weir has gone back into rehab, so we pray for her recovery. This has been a pretty significant week that we've been dealing with, and we know that in this transition with a new president, all of us are hoping for peace and progress, and we just pray for the best for our nation and our world. But would you join me now in our time of prayer? Holy God, we are so thankful that we live in this wonderful nation. We recognize that there are many people who strive to have the freedoms that we do, and we just pray that you would be with our new president and vice president, and also that you might bless the administration and president that have transitioned out now. Father, we ask that you might heal our nation, that you might make us stronger. We pray that you would continue this process of helping us to be able to live out our values of democracy. We know that the passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at today talks about the power of words. Jesus was able to say, "Follow me," and people's lives were changed. And we know that there are times where we can use our words to heal and to strengthen, and there are other times where we use our words to tear things down. We ask that as Christian people and as the family of God, that we would use our words to be able to usher in the kingdom. We pray that you might be with the Baxley family today, that you would give them peace and healing. And we thank you for the promises that we have of resurrection and new life. We pray that you would be with those who are mourning the loss of loved ones that are spread across our community and across our nation and our world. And we pray that for those who are struggling with their health right now, that you would protect them and those who are serving them. But today, most of all, we thank you for all that we receive through Christ. We thank you for the redemptive power that we have through Jesus. And we pray that in everything that we do and everywhere that we go, that we might truly bring a good word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
I'm reading today from Mark 1, starting with verse 14. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I was a bit of a latecomer to the phenomena that is the Harry Potter series. I finished reading the books and watching the films sometime in the summer of 2019. I just never really got around to them before that because I was either in college and seminary or just not really interested, but I finally took the plunge. And of course, like most people, I fell in love with the relationship between young Harry Potter and the headmaster of the School of Wizardry, Albus Dumbledore. Dumbledore was one of those mentors that you just couldn't help but love. But there are times when Harry also becomes incredibly frustrated with Dumbledore because more often than not, Dumbledore stopped just short of the whole story. Even reading their conversations, you had that feeling that Dumbledore knew more than he was offering to Harry. Harry wanted to sit with his mentor and hear the whole story. Harry wanted to hear stories of his parents and how they participated in the fight against evil. Harry wanted to hear about how Voldemort even came to power, how he transformed from just another magician to an evil one. Harry wants to hear about how Voldemort was defeated and how they can do it again. In other words, Harry wants to devour the whole pie of information, but Dumbledore only doles out one bite at a time, and Harry's frustration at this boils over and leads him to eavesdrop and sneak around under his cloak of invisibility. Of course, in these times, Dumbledore knew that Harry wasn't ready for the whole truth, or there were times when the truth would have led Harry to actions that would put him in deep danger, but that did not keep Harry's hunger for more away. There are times when I'm reading scripture that I have the same feeling with God and with Jesus. Somehow we just aren't getting the whole story or the whole truth. Like, how did God create the whole universe in just 6 days? How did Jonah survive in that big fish? Did God really make a bet with Satan regarding Job's faithfulness? What was that sermon that captivated people all day before Jesus fed over 5,000 people? Was Paul really blinded by scales on his eyes? I have so many questions when I cross through those pearly gates. But Jesus doesn't seem too concerned about any of these things. He doesn't sit with the disciples and explain what really happened in those first 6 days. He never, as far as we know, sat and explained how the sea parted that day or why he chose frogs to overrun Egypt instead of, say, you know, lions. Jesus simply has no interest in explaining these things away. Wishing we could feast on the whole pie of information, we come to today's story about Jesus calling his disciples. According to Mark, it really only took two words for Jesus to acquire his followers. Two simple little words. Follow me. And off went Simon, Andrew, James, and John, following Jesus for the rest of his life into the great unknown. 3 years of ministry and then the rest of their lives from two words. Now, of course, if you're like me, we have to have more questions, right? And we try to explain it, filling in the gaps. Surely they had heard him before. Surely there was some kind of relationship already between these brothers and Jesus. Surely it took more than just these two words to convince them that they should follow him. Surely there's more to the story, and we just haven't been given the whole truth. A few weeks ago, I talked about social media influencers, the people with the large followings on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and all those other things. Some people have hundreds of thousands of followers. I mean, it's amazing. But they had to use a lot of words and a lot of energy to create that following. You have to be pretty loud to create such a presence in the online world. And I definitely have the ones that I follow. I follow them because they inspire me and make me want to be a better version of myself in some way. And I have to admit, I have a little desire to be an influencer. Not because I want a lot of followers, but I just like to inspire others. I want to help other people imagine a stronger, healthier, or a more whole version of themselves. There are also people who are negative influencers on these platforms. I get so sad when I see people be so negative or condescending online. And I think it is because we have forgotten the power of our words. We have forgotten what James says in his tiny letter. The tongue is also a small part of the body, but it can speak big things. See how a very small fire can set many trees on fire? The tongue is a fire. It is full of wrong. It poisons the whole body. The tongue sets our whole lives on fire with a fire that comes from hell. Wow. There is power in words. And God's words, certainly. I mean, God created all that is, seen and unseen, through God's words. But even in our words, there is power. Knowing this, we now have the responsibility to use our words to turn lives around. Our own certainly, but others as well. We have an obligation and a joy. We have been given a gift that we can't hoard, that we can't keep secret. It is a part of the gift itself that we share it. It is woven into the fabric of love that is shared, multiplied infinitely until all know what we know. And that all know who we know, even those we don't think are worthy of it. But have you had that person in your life? That person who was careful with their words and thus their words had great power? I think about Brian's papaw when I think about words of wisdom. Papaw Majors doesn't say a whole lot. In fact, he's usually pretty quiet. To be honest, he's usually eating. But there's something about when Papaw speaks. The words are few, but the wisdom is great. Our personal favorite papawism is, if you don't listen, then you have to feel. It doesn't sound the most loving, but he has said that phrase to all of his kids and his grandkids out of love for decades now. There's wisdom and love in his words, and he is careful about how and when he shares them. And because they are so profound and caring, his family listens and has been greatly served by his words. We can create a community of love and care with our words, or we can create division and hurt. We can empower and inspire people to new life with our words. Jesus knew the power of words. But you see, language needs courtesy to guide it, and then it can become something holy. Our culture has taught us that we listen to respond, and we need to fight to be the loudest voice in the room. And this lack of empathy and this need for competition in our speaking means that we are no longer thoughtful about our words. We are often careless and respond in order to just be right. But this is not the way of Jesus. Jesus knew that words had the power to destroy and the power to heal. He knew words had the power to create and the power to tear down. So his words had to be intentional. Follow me. Jesus knew the power of his words. He was always intentional and caring in his words. So may we live in the same grace-filled manner with our own words. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Forgiving God, like Jonah, we resist when asked to tell the story. We find it hard to confess the name of Jesus. We are awkward and feel inadequate. Somehow we still find words to say that incite pain and misunderstanding. But you have called us to speak and to act in love, like Simon and Andrew, James and John. Help us to rise up and follow wherever you lead. Lord of surprising light, make us your followers.
My brothers and sisters, a few weeks ago, we remembered our baptisms together, and we remembered the words that were spoken over us, words that remind us that God loves us at the core of who we are. So as we go forth into this week, may we speak loving, kind, caring words to the world and to one another. Go in God's love, peace, and grace. Amen.